Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. It's been a while since I've done one of these, busy teacher and all that, but thank you for keep checking back, and hopefully this will be useful to you. So even though it was a while ago, I know that the last thing we talked about was the US government policy towards the Plains Indians, and we're just going to sort of move on from that now. We start focusing down on our individual stories of settlement, destruction of Indian culture, cattle industry, law and order, and this one of this particular podcast focuses on Manifest Destiny and how it sort of bleeds into and affects and has consequences for settlement in the West. And this one should be a nice short one. I say should be, don't hold me to it. If I'm still talking 35 minutes later, I apologize in advance. But anyway, here we go. I'm going to try and smash through this one. So Manifest Destiny then. Manifest Destiny is an idea. It's a mindset, all right? It was a mindset that was adopted by or inherently part of the psyche of Americans in the mid sort of 19th century. And really, in a nutshell, it was the belief that it was their destiny to control the whole of the United States. All right. So it comes from a guy called John O'Sullivan in 1845, who published in a newspaper the quote, "It's our manifest destiny to overspread and possess the whole of the continent, which Providence has given us for the development of the great experiment of liberty." And basically what he's saying there is that it is our, or the Americans' destiny to spread across and settle the plains. Now, the reason why this is so important is because it gives different individual groups that justification and motivation for going out onto the plains and settling there. All right. So people in the USA, remember, saw the USA as the shining example of freedom. Remember, America in 1776 had won their independence from the British Empire. And you know, this idea of freedom, of liberty, was kind of ingrained into their society. Remember, American society at the time is made up from people from all different countries, mainly from Europe, that were flooding into the United States for multiple different reasons, occasionally persecution. So, you know, this idea of liberty and freedom, as I say, completely ingrained into their mindset. And Manifest Destiny links into that, ironically, of course, because it was bad news for the Plains Indians who were already living there on the plains. But Manifest Destiny, they believed it was their right and their duty to control the whole of the United States. And, you know, it's a positive spin, really, for taking Plains Indians' land. Remember, Americans didn't see it as Plains Indians' land because there were no buildings there. There was nothing to define it as being owned. Remember, the Plains Indians and Americans had different ideas of what land ownership was. They had a completely different idea as to what that meant. All right, Plains Indians lived nomadically, but it was still very much their land. They moved around it, didn't have any permanent residences, or you know, didn't dig anything up or mine anything, have permanent farmsteads or anything like that. So the Americans saw that land as untouched. And, you know, it's a very European thing to build a house and claim this land as your own forevermore. But that's what the Americans saw. So when they saw this land as, quote-unquote, untouched, they saw it as not claimed, not owned, and therefore it was their manifest destiny to settle it. As part of Manifest Destiny comes this idea of civilization, Christianity, as well as liberty. You know, these are the other things that, were part of the American mindset in the 19th century. And so, you know, they believed it was their duty. Some Americans believed it was their duty to bring these things to the poor Plains Indians, poor Plains Indians. They don't have civilization. They don't have communication. They don't have Christianity. You know, we're going to educate them and for their betterment. You know, obviously the Plains Indians were extremely happy with their way of life. Thank you very much. But this is, as I say, a positive spin on settlement in the West. So it affects the mindset of settlers after 1845. So you can link this to virtually any Western settlement after 1845, which is why it's so important. Remember, as part of your GCSE exam, you do get those consequence questions, you know, where you're talking or you're writing about what happened as a result of the event. So if you get, you know, two consequences of manifest destiny, you could very easily link it to any settlement post 1845. And, you know, it's important because it quickens settlement on the plains. Americans now see it as their duty and their right to settle there, to bring civilization and Christianity to the people already living there. You know, and these are the types of explanations that will get you some marks, provided, of course, you link it to other specific settlement. Americans believed it was their mission, you know, by God, to civilize America and populate it from coast to coast. So link it to any settlement, really, as long as you're answering the question, of course. Link it to any settlement post 1845. Just be very careful. Any settlement before 1845, you know, not valid, because it wasn't, the term itself wasn't coined by John O'Sullivan until that date. All right. The other thing I wanted to discuss in this podcast is slightly different, but this is the war with Mexico. So one of the key stories of the topic is the settlement of the plains and how it goes from those 13 colonies in the east, on the east coast, to being settled across the whole of the United States of America by Americans or Western Europeans, as it were. And this happens in stages. It happens by various different groups, which we'll start to look at in the next podcast. And, you know, all these different groups go for different reasons. All individual people go for various different reasons. But it is facilitated and made easier by the fact that America is laying claim to different territories in what would become the United States step by step. And, you know, the best way to really get your head around this is to look up a map. There are plenty of them on Google and things like that. I'm staring at one right this second, which will give you a color-coded step-by-step, stage-by-stage sort of plan of how different areas, geographical areas of the states, came under American rule. That doesn't necessarily mean that there were Americans there. It just meant that it laid the foundations for Americans to go there, if that makes sense. So, you know, come 1840, the United States are still disorganized. America had by this time had the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, which, you know, means that America now officially has claim to that middle part of America where the plains are. As I say, still no Americans in inverted commas there yet, but it lays those foundations. And on the West Coast, there is kind of individual stories for different geographical areas of how America ends up with those areas to enable people and encourage people to go out there and settle it, to sort of, you know, formally make it part of the United States of America. So, for example, you have the Texas annexation, which is the sort of middle southern part of America where Texas is. And that Texas accepts an invitation from the USA in 1845, because they declare independence from Mexico, so kind of ally themselves, if you like, and get swallowed up into the United States in 1845. And that actually leads to war with Mexico, between Mexico and the USA in 1846 to 1848. Now, again, as I go through this, you don't need to, you know, really know all the details of this and all the dates, but it is good for you to have the context of this, because hopefully it will allow you to see why settlement happened in stages. All right, so the Louisiana Purchase comes first. in 1803. Then you've got the Texas annexation in 1845, which leads to war with Mexico between 1846 and 1848. And this is important because Mexico loses that war. And as a result of that, you've got the Mexican Cession. And that is sort of modern day California, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. So a huge area of land suddenly becomes part of the United States in 1848 officially, and Oregon County as well in 1846 becomes part of the USA after the government encourages eastern migrants to travel there using the Oregon Trail, which we'll look at next lesson. But if you do pull up a map and have a look at it, the thing you will notice is that, as I say, this happens in stages. But remember, even though these territories now are part of the United States, you haven't yet got migrants there. By 1840s, you start to get migrants traveling across the Oregon Trail, which again, of course, links into the next podcast. But it happens step by step and stage by stage. And once these territories, in the eyes of the US government, are owned, in inverted commas, by the USA, then they begin to actively encourage people to go out and settle there for it to sort of officially become part of the United States and for them to actualize manifest destiny. But the thing to remember is, linked to the first podcast, is that the plains are very hard to live on. For all the reasons that we looked at in that podcast, you know, hard soil, very remote, not a lot of shelter, no materials to build with, really. And so for that reason, people start to travel all the way across the plains and settle the lovely West Coast with its fertile soil and lovely lovely weather and all the other wonderful things that it offered. And then once, of course, the East Coast is filled, the West Coast is industrialized and filled, you've got that big gap in the middle where people are crossing them, where the Plains Indians are still living nomadically. And then by that point, you could argue, of course, it's only a matter of time before the American government starts actively encouraging people to settle in the middle and fill it up to you know, cross the United States from coast to coast. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, that's a quick introduction into Manifest Destiny and how war with Mexico affected settlement, you know, with these territories being swallowed up by the United States of America, which then, of course, allowed America to actively encourage people to go out there. Next podcast, we start looking at different individual groups of settlers and their own individual stories and why they went to the plains, how they got there and where they settled. And I hope you'll join me for that one next time. As always, keep working hard and I'll see you then. Bye-bye then.